So I'm here with Samir from the Justice for Anas Coalition. Thanks very much for being with me here today, Samir.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having us on.
To start off, could you remind our listeners about the circumstances of Anas Benes' death and what's happened since that time?
Right. So on December 1st, 2005, basically, as far as we know, Anas Benes was leaving a mosque in the neighborhood of Cote des Neiges in early morning. And basically, soon after that, he was shot by two bullets by a Montreal police officer named Yannick Bernier, and was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. Since then, the family has basically been trying to understand what happened. They, you know, always describe Anas as being a very gentle and kind person. And so when the police said that they had been attacked by Anas and that they were acting in quote-unquote self-defense, it was quite surprising for the family. And it remains so to this day that that was, you know, supposedly the behavior that he exhibited that morning, and that eventually got him killed. So since that point, the family went through the usual sort of channels that are made available to them to try to understand what happened, including waiting for the prosecutor and the coroner to complete their reports. There was an investigation done by the police force of Quebec City into the matter. And basically, at the end of all of that, in November 2006, the Crown prosecutor basically decided that no criminal charges would be laid against the police officers. So a few months after that, several people who had been following the situation and had been in touch in some form or another with members of the Benes family got in touch again. And in December 2006, January 2007, the Justice for Anas Coalition basically came to exist. And it was always in... you know, taking leadership directly from Anas' family, primarily his sisters and his father. And so initially there was essentially a public, a campaign to raise public awareness essentially of what happened, particularly in the neighborhood of Cote des Neiges, but also trying to mobilize different communities aside for the neighborhood itself, including Arabic Muslim communities, North African communities, on the island of Montreal, as well as people who have been working around police brutality and racial profiling on the island of Montreal for some time. So through that, there had been several things. A lot of media work was done. There were several press conferences. There were some, public assemblies, panel discussions, things like that, as well as rallies and a call for a pressure campaign for people to write, or call Jacques Dupuis, who at the time was the Minister for Public Security as well as Minister of Justice. Basically asking or demanding that there be a public inquiry called into this death. So finally, in June of 2008, the head, the chief coroner of Quebec, Louise Nollet, actually called for a coroner's inquiry, which isn't exactly the same thing as a public inquiry that the coalition was asking for, but it was still definitely better than nothing, and so for us it was clearly a partial victory in the hopes of getting some answers to what happened. And then in August of 2008, so a few months after the announcement that the coroner's inquiry would happen, the Montreal Police Brotherhood filed proceedings against Louise Nollet, as well as the coroner, Catherine Rudel-Tessier, who was supposed to preside over the coroner's inquiry.
And who exactly is the Montreal Police Brotherhood?
I mean, basically, I guess a simple way to understand it would essentially be they're the way they identify themselves is essentially that they're the union of the, you know, of Montreal police officers. In a nutshell, is what they are. So they're basically, you know, primarily looking for the interests of their own members. I mean, that's like explicitly their mandate essentially, and so that's essentially like their function and their raison d'être. And so they basically filed proceedings to stop the coroner's inquiry from happening. And initially what they were saying was actually that there's already, you know, enough information that's out there. The family should be happy. They shouldn't, you know, need anything else. And it, later on, actually in October, they actually even issued a press release in which they stated that the family pushing or wanting to go ahead with the coroner's inquiry was essentially the press release was in French, but the English translation would essentially be sort of what would it be l'acharnement légal, so like legal harassment of the police officer involved, basically saying that, you know, the police officer has gone through a lot of emotional turmoil and whatnot after having killed Anas, and so he should be left alone, which I think to anyone with any sense of, you know, basic compassion, I think, would think that to be somewhat preposterous in the context of Anas's family, the, you know, the family of the person who died, having many outstanding questions, many unresolved issues, including things like there's supposed to have been a knife that Anas wielded that has never been to our knowledge anyway, undergone forensic evaluation. There was a video taken of the you know, of sort of the area when all of this happened, from an adjacent building, and those videos were never made public either. And there's a lot of similar questions like these that just have not been addressed up until this point in time.
And so how does Anas Benes's case compare with perhaps other cases of violence or death at the hands of Montreal police officers in this city?
I mean,
in terms of accessibility of information and the process that takes place after an incident like that.
Right. I mean, I think people involved with the Collective Opposed to Police Brutality, COBP, would probably be better placed to provide much better context than I could with respect to the, you know, the multiple over 40 deaths in you know, since 1987, in just over 20 years that have happened in Montreal, and the repercussions that the police officers involved in those deaths have had to face or not face. With regards to sort of this specific situation of a coroner's inquiry, there is a recent situation of a man who was killed, Michel Berniquez, who was killed in 2003 by a Montreal police officer. And in that situation, actually, there was also a coroner's inquiry that was called, and in that situation, the Montreal Police Brotherhood got involved and blocked it. As far as I'm aware, that family or the lawyer for that family is in the process of appealing that decision, but right now that coroner's inquiry that was called is basically in limbo. So I don't, you know, in a general sense, I think to answer your question, it seems very suspicious, basically, how, to what extent the Montreal Police Brotherhood is going to not allow this coroner's inquiry from proceeding, And by doing that, one has to wonder what they have to hide. You know, the family has always said that if it turns out that, you know, Anas, it's proven that Anas did attack and that he was acting violently and whatnot, that they would be content with at least knowing what happened, you know, and then being allowed to grieve their loss. But up until now, there's such a shroud of secrecy, a veil of secrecy over all of this, that they haven't been allowed to do that, and they just had so many unanswered questions and such a lack of closure that it's impossible for them to be able to move on. And I think that's completely understandable, obviously.
And can you talk a bit about the hearing that will be taking place, the court hearing this Thursday, related to the Montreal Brotherhood's attempt to block a coroner's inquiry into Anas Benes's death?
So as far as we know, I mean, I haven't been involved in these kinds of you know, proceedings in the past, but my understanding is basically that the Montreal Police Brotherhood will be having their sort of arguments heard during the course of the day, and there'll be a you know, the family's lawyer will also be present. I'm assuming to present counter arguments. As far as we know, the hearings will go essentially for the day. It shouldn't last more than that. They're going to be starting at around 9:30 on Thursday morning, January 29th, at the Palais de Justice, which is on 10 Saint Antoine Street East. It's unclear at the present time which room it's going to be in, but if people are able to go, then all they have to do is just ask, basically at the, you know, at the front desk, what room to go in. And we are hoping that people will be present. We realize that it's a, you know, it's a whole day, and so I think, you know, even if people can come for short periods of time, that would be very meaningful. Not only to show to the police brotherhood that there are people watching and that the people who you know, are on the side of wanting to get the truth to what happened on December 1st, 2005. But that kind of court presence is also very supportive for Anas's family, obviously. And they've always, up until now, very much appreciated the support and solidarity that people in Montreal and beyond have expressed since they've been trying to get to the bottom of what happened.
Well, thanks very much for speaking with me today, Samir. And just before we end, could you say again the date and place that the hearings will be happening this coming Thursday, if people want to attend?
Sure. So the courtroom solidarity we're calling for is Thursday, January 29th at around 9:30 a.m. is when it will start at the Palais de Justice, 10 Saint Antoine Street East. There will also be a lunchtime rally with a potential press point at noon on that same day, basically at the other entrance of the Palais de Justice, which is at 1 Notre Dame East, and the closest metro is the Champ de Mars metro. And I would also encourage people to go to the website, which is justicepouranas.org, on the World Wide Web.
Thanks very much again for being with us today, Samir.
Thank you very much.